Three, two. Wait, I'm gonna make a pause so I can. I'm gonna be quiet for like 5 seconds. So I can like see you in the recording, you know.
Wow.
The Ashley's gonna show.
Every Monday there's a WOTC posting league results on the Mothership website. Legacy not fun, but I'll see if there's some spires I can play for a weekly or a 1k jam. And they're crying for bands, and it's sunny out. Urza Saga has infested FedEx Bruin and flatten them out. The spice has got me feeling, and I might stop believing. Spice it up again. This card is gonna do it. I really wanna brew it again. Every Monday, ban the Murktide WOTC, ban EI2. Every Monday when I log on, too long to write the wrong, too long to wait, too long to wait.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the Legacy Podcast. It's brainstorming ways to cheat with crystal spires. My name's Kunomori. No one got that, right?
Oh, is that the pencil land?
Yeah, you can just like, sir, Yeah. First off, my name's Kunomori. I'm here as always with my co-host Jeff Kinsey, who just threw me off my game there. It was tight before that, as usual.
I threw you off?
Yeah, it was going to be a masterpiece, but now just another throwaway.
Just a box topper.
I'm going to fix that one in post.
I don't know if you can.
How do you fix bad ideas?
Yeah, please write to us.
Is there an editing software for that? And I'm also here with the co-host Brendan McBain. McBain, what's up?
Hey guys. It's kind of hard when you ask us a question to start off with your thing, and then you like tell us to be quiet. Well, you guys know what that is, right? Hey, shut up.
The Legacy Podcast is posing a rhetorical question to the two co-hosts
who don't know what your thing is.
Wait, did I say crystal spires by accident?
I think so, and I was confused. But
it's cryptic spires.
Cryptic. Wow. Okay. I was like, I don't know what it is.
They'll say, should we take that from the top? That's a joke. I don't want to do that. Cryptic Spires is the only new card in the upcoming Double Masters 2022. It's a land that has all 5 mana symbols on it. And as you create your deck, you circle 2 of the colors below. Cryptic Spires enters the battlefield tap, add 1 mana of either color of the, sorry, 1 mana of either of the circled colors.
This is weird.
That's like ripe for cheating, right?
What's the cheat that you have a different one sleeved up that like isn't in your deck but is in your hand and has 2 different colors circled?
Just seems so sketchy.
But like you're already 90% of the way to cheating by the time you're cheating with Cryptic Spires.
What if it also counted as the basic lands for the 2 types that you chose? And it was like a super roundabout way of creating dual lands. You can only have 4 in your deck.
Type.
Oh, well, if they didn't have pencil. ETB tap, and it was just like it's almost like a.
Can you imagine that?
So there's
you'd
just
only be able to do 4. It's actually like
you'd
kind
only
of
be able to do 4, but it would be like pick your 4 most expensive duels.
Can you imagine a world in which somebody fetches Cryptic Spire and you're like, what does that tap for? And it could be fucking anything.
And they're like, just like, you're looking and it's like these really faint pencil lines and you're like, judge. Like,
you no, it's
4 in your deck that all tap for different things.
It's just a big checklist card of all 10. And then I can see like, you know, the little pencil mark of the box check of like, oh, this is my duel.
choose 2 basic different land types.
Yeah, you just choose 2 basic land types. It counts as those basic lands.
Basic lands?
Well, it counts as that land type. So like you know, island and plains. And then it's basically a tundra at that point. You can have 4 of them in your deck. And off you go.
I love
you just fucking made dual lands.
of like WotC, like the way they get around this is like, okay, no, no, we're not reprinting dual lands. We're reprinting cards you have to deface and then they become dual lands.
I can just
send that one. Send that one in. Send that to Ian.
I think that's a good idea. Like, it's...
This is maybe so like, impossible to manage. Like, think about how hard it is right now if you're trying to fetch between, like, a Savannah and a Scrubland. You're like, wait, what the fuck? One of these is this? Okay, but, like, if you have two that are different.
How about... So you have the checklist card.
Uh-huh.
But then there's also, like, tokens that are each of the types.
Tune in two thresholds mean? When we have Mike Long and Alex Bernicini on to discuss, to pitch their case to Mark Rosewater about this design type.
These are the hoops we have to jump through to get dual lands through the reserve list.
I think the next shift is going to be Legacy is going to be played with a battle box mana base. You start with 10 dual lands in your command zone, and every turn you play one.
Could they make them like strictly better?
Like you gain two life when they come into play?
But like what if they had like the Battle Bond land text? Like they're just like it's like Volcanic Island. And like if you have and you gain one life for each opponent after the first one when it comes into play.
I feel like that hits into like the spirit. Territory, which I mean, look, the reserve list bullshit, like fuck the spirit, but I think that'd be their reasoning.
How is that worse than like a shock land?
Do you mean aside from being strictly better?
Yeah, but I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not for like the degrees of difference, right? It's the exact same thing. You just gain life instead of lose life.
But one is a drawback and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, well, are you saying that they can't print?
They can't print that. Better than the dual lands.
So they can't print a 5/5 black creature for 2/2 black that doesn't dome you for one life every time. Like I think they've done that.
Look, they already can't print one white 2-mana 2/2 or one white 2/2 flying first strike, right? Because Thunder Spirit exists.
They give a trample. They will, bro. It'll draw a card and gain one life in the next limited set. And it'll be uncommon.
Those ones are honestly the fucking weirdest. It's like dual lands, like I can understand a bit, but then you start getting into like, oh, Grey Ogre, that's no, sorry, no more vanilla 2/2s.
They should just imagine? They should tack on, like, there should be just like a thing where they do like a full on live. This is good. It could be like a live Twitch show, and they just have like the dumbest clauses. Like, we're gonna reprint the dual lands, but each one's gonna come with a clause and it's gonna make someone mad. And so you like spin the thing and it's like, all right, it's a tropical island, except it has the text, all slivers get -1/-1 or all slivers you control.
Oh, I was going to say,
not just all slivers. Sorry. All slivers you control.
Or it's like, Nunez.
it's like a plateau. But like the first goblin spell you cast each turn is countered. Like just like ooh. They just plaster extra shit on.
Yeah, I think that was but a suggestion somebody had at some point too. You know, make them just some kind of arbitrary clause like that. I don't know.
Griffins you control lose flying.
What you did touch on with it being on Twitch made me hope for, you know how they used to do like the you design the card and like that's how people got like Crucible and like some other
Waste Knot, right?
Yeah, Waste Knot is one for sure. What if like they adopted the Twitch plays Pokemon strategy and just Twitch chats fucking spamming like up, down, left, right to like select like the next clause on the card?
There's enough words on cards already. I have a feeling you'd end up with this like encyclopedia.
Robo Rosewater.
Yeah, I bet you would have less words than like Questing Beast.
What the fuck was that white card Elliot was talking about in the Slack? I think you were roasting him for like not knowing what it does. And like the card is just wall to wall text. There's no room for flavor text. There's no room for explanations. It's just fucking top of the box to bottom of the box, like justified text block.
It's not that white card. Basic planes.
It's where it some, has all the some stupid text. Like commander card. The planes is so annoying. The best part is that we can leave this hanging because nobody needs to know what this is, and everybody's just familiar with the idea of a new card that has way too much text.
Why don't you clean these cards up for us, Jeff?
I can't do a very good job, man. I chugged one thing on this housekeeping because the other stuff that's happening is going to be over by the time this is out. So really, we're just left with the one, the only, the Puget Sound Battleground 4, July 30th, that weekend, Tacoma. I don't know. Register early. I signed up. We're going to be there. We actually, I was talking to Elliot about this, and this is more inside baseball. We got to rent a place so we can stay somewhere.
I just want to point out that the one time I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go, it's like less than a month and there's no place. I guess it's just a little over a month. I'd be collecting the money already, telling people there's like no refunds.
See, we need you.
You can pay me an extra $50 if you want COVID insurance, get your money back.
See what happens when we don't have the organized people involved. I can't be counted on. So yeah, that's coming up. That's going to be cool. You know, events, all kinds of stuff. We've talked about it forever. Sign up. See you there. That's the physical cards. Do you guys want to talk about some digital cards? I'll start. So the God accounts are up, and with that, there's the like feeder tournaments into the championship thing that's happening on the 25th, which is it sealed Modern Horizons 2 again? Something
I
like that.
I think so, yeah.
Perfect. I'll run it back. So they've been doing, they did Legacy last week, and then, you know, limited tournaments, Modern, Pioneer, whatever. And then you need a limited end. Constructed token to get in. I tried 3 Legacy events on the 2 days that existed. One time I played the Karn Cat combo deck I got from JR and just went 0-2 immediately. The next 2 times I played Espervile and also went 0-2 immediately. Like I'm 0-6 in these tournaments. Very, very bad. But I did manage to spike out Vintage Masters Sealed. And like that felt so fucking good to play Vintage Masters again. That format is so sick. It has to be like the limited format. That's just the most like old school where somebody has like I had a Mox Sapphire and like the best thing I could cast was like, God, I don't even fucking know. I had one of the Land Cyclers. Like that was like my beef.
Like if it was truly old school, at least you'd have like a Seraph Angel or something.
Right. I did open 2 hymns though. And I had a couple games where I just went like turn 2 him, turn 3 him. And it was so good.
Skill game.
Like there's very few things on Magic Online that are better than in paper, but the pauses you get on Magic Online after certain things resolve, like it goes to their turn and then it just pauses for a second and then it's just an F6 without playing a land and you're like, yes.
When you have F6 too and someone hymns you and then all of a sudden you're just like, what happened? All the cards just disappeared. Holy shit. And you're like, oh God, it was him. Fuck.
Yeah. So that format's so sick. I want to play more of it again. I wish it was up to draft and not like particularly expensive because it's just sweet. Like people just play such like shitty cards because you have to. And like sealed is actually kind of the right spot for it because in draft you can end up with a pretty crazy like mono red deck with Rite of Initiation. That's always the scary one. And like, you know, you'll get it fucking all the time or like somebody's in and picks up all the battle screeches and that's terrifying.
But is that the one red discard cards in Pumpkin?
Yeah. X cards at random, I think, and everything gets +1/+0 until end of turn. So you just shit out a bunch of tokens, then you cast Rites of Initiation and like kill somebody on turn 4. But sealed, everybody just has these piles and they have to try to make it work. Like, the mana's awful. You do have like duels and you have fetch lands in like Bad River. So you're playing these like tap fetches to get like your underground sea. Like, it's so good. I had a Scrubland and Eternal Dragon, and like, dude, plane cycling for the Scrubland was so busted. So that's sick. And then I managed to get the other token playing Modern. I stole a deck from Elliot, Bring to Light Escape Shift, and 4-1 by just playing a bunch of lands and allocating people. So I'm all set and qualified for this thing. Did you guys try any shots for this? I know you guys aren't DJs willing to write off a Saturday.
When is it again? It's like this weekend.
This Saturday.
I think I have plans.
If you haven't done anything to qualify for yet, I think that means you have to win Pioneer and Modern Horizons sealed.
I think like I missed Legacy being up, and then I was just like, I don't want to play other formats like Constructed.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the other formats. I really just signed up for the God accounts to just play whatever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's absolutely fair, especially with stuff like Commander Legends coming out, and like, you don't have to scramble to like find your new cards. Or, you know, if you're Ally and you want to get a copy of 4 currency converters, it's certainly easier to just have a God account for a while.
How much is currency converter on
I have Moda? No idea, but it was just added to the treasure chest, so it's probably a little hard to find.
Oh, okay, fine.
Quinn, are you up for being a degenerate on Saturday?
Maybe, probably not.
All right, so I was gonna say, man, we could like somehow squad up and like bust out a Pioneer win, and then just like, get there.
Gonna be nice this weekend for like
true.
Like for people who are outside of Vancouver, hasn't really, it's been like not summer. And then once again, the poor peas in my garden are gonna be like, oh, it's so nice out, and then like scorching heat, instantaneously. On I think Friday it gets hot. So like, yeah, I don't know if I want to like play Magic Online. Magic in paper, like maybe. Magic Online.
Yeah, you just sit here right next to your window. Like Magic in paper, you're at least in some kind of dungeon. You can't see outside.
Yeah, I can't like see the sunshine again and being like, maybe I should be out there.
So no D-gens with me. All right. I'll keep you abreast of what's happening next time I win 4 copies of every card on Magic Online.
Yeah, like I'll check in on Slack from a patio. Just ask how it's going. Cool, cool.
If you want to play some Battle Box or something on a patio, Quinn, I'm down.
Yeah. We'll also be like on round 4. Like I'll be on round 4 about the same time you will, probably.
That will also be the perfect vibe for you to step in, you know, half cut and be like, oh, you're playing that card? I wouldn't have done that. See ya.
I've won like 2 matches at the fucking GP for that format, but like I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I've been playing a few just other matches on like Magic Online 2 with the God account. A little bit back in the swing of things, which has been, you know, wax and wane usually. But the Modern thing got me a little juiced for Modern. I've just been playing some Scapeshift. Or I guess it's rude to call it Scapeshift, Bring to Light. And it feels kind of hard to get worse than a 3-2 with that deck. I'm not very good at Modern, and my skill at Magic is, you know, still up in the air. But sometimes you just start playing lands and you just, okay, I have a Dryad and like 3 Valakuts. So every land, you know, does 9 damage. I did have one of the most memorable moments, I think.
Oh, God, so good.
Of a game the other day. I was playing as like the black-red mid-range, like Ragavan deck, and they hit me and took my Dryad and I cast it. And like 2 turns later, we both have like 5 lands in play. They cast a Boil because like I have a bunch of lands, but they had my Dryad, so they just Armageddoned themselves. I lost that game because their board was really impressive, but that was hilarious. And immediately in chat, like when it's on the stack, you see them like, no, 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 no.
Control Z, Control Z.
And aside from that, I've been playing, you know, as usual, Espervile, the latest shit Jeff's cooked up, which is 3 OG main.
What is that card even?
It's the 4 mana, 2/3. It costs 2 white blue. It's a legendary human monk.
How do you spell that?
OJI, the something. When it comes into play, you scry 2 and gain 2 life. And when you cast your second spell of a turn, you get to like immediately flicker a creature you control. Of note for Espervile, it is you control and not you own. And it goes back under its owner's control, so you can't like permanently steal something. But the card's kind of sick. I was really skeptical of like how often you'd be able to trigger it in the deck. And the deck's not really changed that much to account for 3 of them. Like, you're not playing a bunch more 1-mana spells, but being able to just like play it, and then like if you force something that turn, you can flicker anything, like including itself. Which, I mean, there's a lot of similarities to the cat, but the scrying 2 and gaining 2, being able to balance with Caracas, is pretty sick.
There's a lot of similarities to the cat, except on power level. The cat seems much more powerful.
So that's the thing is, though, is in a deck like Espervile, is like you play this thing and then you play like Strix, like that's your second spell. You can flicker something and you can just like go off by like, you know, recruiter, cast the second spell, flicker your recruiter, find something else. So, I mean, what is an accomplishment for me with this deck right now is that I managed to time out in game 1 of a game today. I was playing against Bank Control, and I got them down to like 4 minutes on the clock, and I timed out, I swear, only because I had to go talk to somebody about a cabinet, and I probably lost like 4 minutes. But like, I had the whole chain going. Like, every turn, I'm like using Aji to flicker like Yorion, and then flickering the whole board. And like, if they try to do removal at some point, like, cast this, flicker that, you know, Solitude your guy. Oh, you Caracas it, cast the second spell, flicker my Solitude, hit your guy again, just going in the tank. One thing Espervile really needed is a lot more triggers to click on and stack, so I'm glad that finally exists.
Clearly, Ephemerate is a perfect card for that deck. Does the rebound trigger the...
With Aji? It should. Aji? Yeah, I mean, it would be the first spell you cast that turn, but then it would make the second one. Yeah. One thing that it does do is, like, you can kind of accidentally fuck up your sequencing a lot. Like, say you have a Yorion, like, you want to attack them, but you also, like, want to flicker it. Like, you need to bear in mind the spells you're casting pre-combat, because if you wanted to, like, play out a recruiter or something pre-combat to find something, I don't know, the violin or whatever, it's, like, all of a sudden that removal spell force you have will be the one that flickers something. So, like, I missed a few attacks for sure because I like did something beforehand, and then I was like, oh shit, I have to flicker this now. I also was inspired a week ago by Travis's list from the Seattle Mox event, the Ephemerate, Spellseeker, Orym's Chant, Eternal Witness. And I chucked together kind of my own attempt at that with the cat. And I did a few 3/2s, nothing crazy, but it was a hell of a lot of fun to play, to just start like the Orym's Chant, Eternal Witness chains, and just like cat Eternal Witness is great. Ugh.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Cat Spellseeker, oh, it's all very good.
I love how like it's like, it almost feels like Nickfit in terms of it's just this hodgepodge of like, how are these cards even good?
Mm-hmm.
But it's Espervile.
Well, yeah, this one's like Bant, but very similar in vibes. I literally just like took the mana base and then just like switched the black for green. But having fun. I haven't played with the cat for about a week, but I'll try it out again at some point. I need to pick some up, but I think they're still fairly expensive.
It's like $9 or
$10? Not like the most expensive, but you know, it's in that range where it's like, it's going to get cheaper.
Says the guy with like infinite Magic Online.
I mean, in paper. Magic Online, I don't care.
Oh my God, they're $20 now.
They're gone up?
Like Canadian.
You can Americans buy a box of Baldur's Gate for like $86.
What are they on?
It's going to be the true name effect.
Yeah. So, I mean, the closest thing is like Hull Breacher and what, Opposition Agent? Like, those are both worth less than like $5 right now.
Well, Hull Breacher got banned in Commander. So that's
okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Opposition Agent's like, about one the other day? What was it? It's like,
we're going to get to Opposition Agent.
It's like 10 American. Later.
10 American, damn.
We're going to get to that card later.
Okay.
No, it has Flash. I can put in whatever I want.
McBain, have you been doing anything with the God accounts?
Yes. I did get a ticket. I haven't played very much.
I'm currency converter?
I've been playing with the mono black Urza Saga Depths deck.
Good lord.
Which does like have the Opposition Agent.
The Dothy Voidwalker one?
Yeah, the Voidwalker Saga. It was very much just a copy paste net deck. Fire it up. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It feels pretty powerful at times. But I haven't like played a ton with it. Quinn, you said you were playing with it too, right?
I played one league. I don't think I mulliganed aggressively enough.
Hmm.
Like, I think, I don't, you know, when you like play a deck for the first time, I don't know, maybe people are good at like assessing Magic cards or like knowing you to do this thing. But I kind of looked at it and I'm like, oh, it was like disruption. There's so much disruption, right? I'm like, oh, I have like disruption and like lands I can play. I'm like I just try and keep this. I think you need to try and do something busted like on your first two turns.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, you know, there's all sorts of nuance and matchup dependencies and stuff. But yeah, generally when you can like make a 20/20 and disrupt, like take the swords out of their hand.
Well, ideally, yeah. But I mean, I think like, you know, when you're like, oh, this is a keeper. I have like Duress, Thoughtseize and like an Urza Saga. But like, I don't think you're supposed to keep those hands.
Right, like the good enough hands.
Yeah. Yeah. What else have you been playing online, Quinn?
I played a Storm League. I played the Displacer Kitten Bomberman deck, which felt terrible, but JR5 would with it. But it just felt like worse Bomberman to me. I don't know.
That deck also feels like so much like the, my brain is shutting down. Like just the effect of somebody who's like so intrinsically good that it doesn't matter what cards they're playing. Like JR50'd and he sent me the list and was like, yeah, 50'd sick. And I played and it's just like, you
know? Every time I like drew the kitten, I was like, God, I just want to draw like Oriok Salvagers or something. Or when you draw Salvagers and kitten, you have like 2/4 drops and your opponent like wastelands you. It's like, oh my God, never cast
it. Or when you have the kitten and like the most like mundane things to flicker.
Yeah.
I was just like, when I saw that list, I was like, ooh, this looks really cool. Except you realize there's like, so many 4 mana cost effects. You're just like, I don't know. The mana curve just seems awful. But I'm sure when you go off, you go off. So
anytime like Azoria Signet shows up in Legacy, something's fucked up.
I guess maybe I didn't play enough Azoria Signets. That kind of saved you from Wasteland. But yeah, I played that deck. I played that no LED dredge list with Talarian Winds. Woo-hoo. End of turn, discard your hand, and then draw, was it 4 cards? 3 cards?
Yeah, you're going to have to hit me up with a description on Talarian Winds.
It is.
Is that what it is? I thought it was something else.
I thought it was like Windfall, but it can't just be instant Windfall.
Draw that many cards. Discard all the cards.
Yeah, you discard
your hand, then draw that many cards.
Yeah. And is it both players?
No, just you.
Oh,
but it's one of the blue and it's instant speed. So there are like insane lines where like you keep that 2 lands, especially if it's like, I had one game where it was the place Fiery Island, and so I just played Fiery Island and passed. My opponent like pondered, played like Fiery Island and passed, and I'm like, and then they just like tapped out, and I'm like, do you think they'll daze Talarian Winds? Do you think they have daze? They didn't have daze, spoiler. Or if they did, they were like, what the fuck is this card? Sure. Because also, like, someone puts that on the stack, and you're like, what is going to happen here? and then what happened was I discarded Golgari Grave Troll, Golgari Grave Troll, and Golgari Thug. And like just a bunch of other shit, and then like dredged three or dredged. What would that be like? 17.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me. It's really interesting to me the fact that you can like play slow and dredge a bunch, and then they endurance you, and you've dredged all your dredgers back in your hand. You're like, oh no, my endurance. Okay. Delirium wins, pitch, mega dredge, and you just like immediately refuel. That is pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, it plays a force of will. It plays a card that I should know the name of because I play it in Historic all the time. The one blue with flashback. What the hell is it called?
It like mills three and then
Otherworldly Gaze.
Yeah, Otherworldly Gaze. So it's you look at the top of your cards in your library, you can put any number of them into your graveyard. Put the rest back on top of your library in any order and has flashback for one in a blue, but also plays that card so you can like EOT, like just dump a bunch of dredgers in the yard and then take your turn. Has four force of will, which came in handy specifically in a game where I won game one and I just didn't flip any force of wills. And my opponent was just kind of like, say they're going to be dead to zombies or whatever. So they scooped. And then tried to like, it was another combo deck. I can't remember what it was, but they tried to like go off on turn one being like, oh, you're dredge. And then I had Force of Will pitching Otherworldly Gaze.
Man, I would also never like, be prepared for the Force of Will out of dredge.
Right? Like until you see it. That's the part about it is that like, usually you flip into your yard in game one. So they're like, oh, you have Force of Will. Like, I guess I have to think about that. But yeah, that was all right. It's like interesting for dredge. I hadn't played dredge in a long time though. And I forgot that a lot of it is just like, oh, I guess I just dredge again. And you're like, well, shit. but also good because I haven't played dredge in so long that I think I built up too much fear in me. You know, when you play against dredge, you're like, oh my God, they're going to fucking dredge. Like they're just going to put an Archimedes and then they're going to Cabal Therapy me. And like, what if they dredged a bunch of cards and they hit nothing, which happens more often than you think when you're on the side of the dredge player.
It's like my infect rule where I'm just like, you know, you think they're going to kill you, but they probably aren't. Maybe this new infect list that plays more scale ups and stuff will, but my old heuristic was. How did you find that?
It'll usually kill you if that's your attitude. but you're disrupt. Like it plays scale up, right? So
yeah,
that makes it like challenging if like, you know, your opponent has like one white up, you're like,
so don't would you say it's the Omicron variant of infect? Like if you don't respect it, it's like highly contagious and it'll get you.
sort of. It's definitely dumber. It's creator, still a very smart man. So it's like Sam's list. But it's like a lot more, there's a lot less like grindy games and a lot more where you're like, if you don't do something, I'm gonna kill you. Which is not like my favorite thing to do, but it's powerful. I Sam's list, I believe he called it the fuck Delver list. It has four endurances in the sideboard and it definitely fucks Delver.
Four endurances, jeez.
And when you make that, like you have that fourth mana source, including your Noble Hierarch, and you just hard cast endurance when they're into their attacking Delver and like, what are you going to burn a force? Like, I guess you do that. And then Inkmoth Nexus is ripping in too. It's just like a. Yeah. He was tired of losing to Delver online. Card.
I mean, yeah. If you tech your deck against Delver, you're probably pretty good against the field.
That's the other thing too. Like, I lost to a Jeskai Control deck. Like, I lost a Jeskai Control twice. But I was undefeated against Delver in like two leagues. I beat Grixis Control, I beat lands, I beat four color loam, all decks that are like bad matchups, because you can just like get under decks like loam usually, well then control, well, actually because you're gonna control too. Yeah, it was powerful. Sweet. Wasn't like it was infect.
Do you have all the cards to run in paper?
I need one copy of endurance. Has four endurances. Okay. In our meta, I would run three in a Torpor Orb, though. So, like, I could bring it on a Thursday.
Yeah, that's cool. You guys want to talk about another paper event that happened?
Let's go.
So it would have been sweet if we could have gone to this. It was on the West Coast. We talked about it last episode. I believe we talked about it last episode and released it. It might have been one of the mystery episodes.
Yeah, because we were talking about playing like our own tournament on like the Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we referenced Snowpiercer, but that's a good reference. That would be pretty good. Like, you know, you're going down, there's eight of you, and it's like, you got to fight to the front train. Like, that's where the top eight is. That's where the finals. Or there's the O2 drop in the caboose where you just go and drink.
It's perfect.
I think that'd be so sweet. Like, if the trains line up and they actually function, that would be a fun time. Rather than me saying this as the guy who's always the one driving. So I might be biased here, but I think that'd be fun. And then you could also get hammered like right before you go back and just kind of be drunk on the train. Anyway, this is the Mox Portland. This was the first legacy event that they had in Portland. So Mox has always been more of a Seattle-based company, and they expanded down into Portland. First legacy event happened on the 19th of July, last Sunday. And shout outs to Testacular. Before we started, I was able to reach out to him and he hooked us up with a bunch of information. So we've got this hot off the presses, not even presses. It's the ink is still wet. So big shout outs to him. So overall, it was 37 people, which is like pretty good for like a first time. And I always remember the Portland legacy scene was a little bit smaller, but pretty respectable number anyway. In terms of the top eight, a bit of a hodgepodge of stuff in here. I'm going to save the best for last. So not in order of final standings, but we had Show and Tell, Blue Red Delver, Ant. We're getting to the last couple here. Mono Red Prison. And then we had Green White Lands. So I think this is Jeff, you were saying it's probably the like Reclaimer and Field of the Dead.
That's my theory. You know, more like the kind of nihilists like Elliot was playing before. This was the eighth name drop, but you know, like playing Field of the Dead, playing your snow-covered forest and your basic forest, playing your temple garden and your savannah, right. Some sagas in there.
I thought you were calling Elliot a nihilist. And I was like, is that like a style of deck?
Dude, they should call it that. That's great. Like a nihilist. It's perfect.
Yeah, nihilist lands. And then rounding out the top eight, we had Burn. So I'd really love to see this.
Holy shit.
This list. Like if it's just like your father's burn deck with more than three Price of Progress in the main, like it's just going to get you. Or if it's all sorts of weirdness and there's like DRCs in it or something, I don't know.
It's hard to tell with like Burn these days, right? It's like if you see it somewhere, it's like some insane like just like psycho prowess list or like somebody playing like Shanner's Incinerator or something. It would be very nice to see the Price of Progress Flame Rift together. But I mean, Price of Progress is insane. Like, it's so good right now.
Yeah. So top four turned out to be Blue Red Delver, Mono Red. Oh, and I didn't say the last one. It is Black White Dead Guy Ale.
Ooh.
Rounding out the top eight, which we have the deck list for. So we're going to dive into that. For the top four, we had Blue Red Delver, Mono Red, Dead Guy Ale, and Ant. So I just want to say, like, it's really cool to see the Ant deck. Like, I'm not sure who the pilot was on Ant, but we had James Johnson on Ant in the last Mox event. Maybe 3 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing it again here, that's pretty awesome. When you were saying you played Storm, did you play Ant or did you play TES?
Oh, I played Ant. Yeah, I played the not James's list though. Just like the straight Grixis list, like Demonic Tutors's list.
Demonic Tutors banned in Legacy.
Oh shit! Why'd they register that?
God accounts.
I always wondered why people played Infernal Tutor.
It's strictly worse, but
Calvin don't said anything.
Nice, this is a good bit, guys. Well done.
That's the joke.
This dead guy list is sweet.
Okay, can you give us some of the flavors here?
So, I mean, I think if you picture dead guy in 2022, obviously, you know, you got your Stoneforge. I feel like right behind that in terms of obvious inclusion is the Dothy Voidwalker.
Whoa. To me, dead guy screams like Dark Confidant and Stoneforge. They're holding hands. They've done it for a long time. And like, that's what they're doing. Other stuff. But
like Dark Confidant's there. He's a little washed though. You know, like the modern, you know, Zoomer dead guy, the kill your idols dead guy is the Dothy Voidwalker Stoneforge. I mean, look, there are more Dark Confidants in this deck than Dothy Voidwalkers or Stoneforge Mystics. But that little shadow guy, that's exactly what I want to stick some of this equipment on.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say the rest of the creatures that are in here. Turok Dread Cantor, which I love Turok. He's so fun. And a deck where you can kick it, which is the only deck you should be playing it in. Like, it's so strong. And then some opposition agents, which also are pretty strong, just as like a stupid thing you can flash in and be annoying with.
The fact that there's... So I just want to go over the other cards that are in here. So for artifacts, to go with the Stoneforge, you've got Chite, you've got Keldra Complete, and then there's two Unlicensed Hearths as artifacts as well. Instance, we've got four Dark Ritual, which I want to say a bit more about. Three March of Otherworldly Light, four Swords to Plowshares, rounding out the spells. You got four Hymns and four Thoughtseize. That's six Hymns. Like, and the
fact sometimes that a four mana Hymn.
But the like the Dark Rituals are doing some work. Like the fact that you could one ritual an opposition agent on someone and just dagger them, or just, you know, ritual Thoughtseize him or something stupid, or even just getting the Tutorak out there.
Yeah, turn two, like ritual kick Turok.
Yeah, just ooh. Like turn one, you kind of Thoughtseize, make sure the coast is clear, and then you just drop that bad boy.
The sick thing about Turok 2 is he also just grows whenever they discard a card. So, like, you know, you kick Turok and then you him them later or, like, Thoughtseize them later, and, like, he just gets bigger.
Meanwhile, your Dothy Voidwalker is exiling all the cards that you hit.
Yeah, and you get to cast them? Like, that's sick.
Yeah. So I was going to say there's a similar list of this in the 5-0s. Except in the 5-0s. There's still four Dark Confidants.
There's four Dark Confidants here.
Except.
Oh, mm-hmm.
In addition to having Cauldron Complete, it's like a bad beat. This list is playing also Batterskull. Not bad. Five.
You can recoup the life.
You can recoup the life when you hit your Batterskull, you know? But how do you recoup the life off of your two copies of Tombstalker?
Oh my god.
Greatness. At any cost.
Do you know what goes in my Dark Confidant deck? a Delve threat.
An 8 mana Delve threat.
Yeah, I hear Murktide's good. I might as well just play this.
Dark Confidant Murktide. Good lord.
So in this sideboard of this thing, they've got one Wandering Emperor.
Yep.
That card is, I think, just going to always be around. And Legacy,
it's really good. I think it's underplayed right now.
Yeah,
like it's one of those cards where, like, when you see it, and like you see somebody doing something with it, you're like, oh, like fuck, this thing's actually extremely annoying.
It's very annoying. They've also got two Null Rod in there, other cards in their sideboard, two Deafening Silence, two Surgical, two Dam, two Fracture, three Plague Engineer.
Oh.
And you got one Sophie.
Sophie! I love the Dam. I love the Dam. The fact that you can do both halves in here as just like a shitty, you know, single target removal spell or like a Wrath is super sick.
Is Fracture? I'm trying to remember what Fracture
is. I was going to quiz you guys on Fracture, knowing that I don't know exactly what it does myself, because I think it has a weird like thing on it, especially because there was two cards in the same set that cost the same amount that were different. It's
black, white, exile, target, artifact, enchantment, or planeswalker?
Is destroy,
artifact, destroy,
enchantment, or planeswalker.
Oh, wow, okay.
But then there was a...
I was going to get something close to that, but not Planeswalker.
Yeah. In the same set, there was Vanishing Verse, which is like you exile a monocolored permanent? Multicolored permanent? I don't know, one of the two.
Huh.
Monocolored. Yeah. I mean, Fracture's good. It's sick. There's just not enough like white-black decks that exist.
And then the... just want to go back to the two unlicensed hearths in the main deck. Has that been something that you've been playing around with at all, Jeff?
Yeah, I actually, obviously JR is doing really well with what he's calling Tokyo Drift, which is like the mono red stompy playing Fable and hearse. It's perfect.
That's such a good name.
And you know, I wanted to play with hearse because I bought a few, so I just grabbed my trusty, you know, Yorion Esper Vial and put in some, I'm going to get the name wrong because it's the worst, Tribute Mage? Is that the, you can search for an artifact that costs two? Whatever the one in that cycle is, where it's a two and a blue 2/2 and you can search for an artifact that costs two. I played two of those and two hearses because in standard Esper Vial, you're also playing Strix, which you can find off of it, so you aren't just like whiffing completely. And just like the Miser's hearses, even though in Esperal you usually have to crew with two creatures to get it crewed, like just the thing that sits and eats the yard and then you can attack people with is massive. And like I was surprised at how not bad the Tribute Mage was, because out of the board you can find like Jite is like a really shitty Stoneforge. Hers is sweet. I look forward to trying to put it in, I don't know, some other deck and seeing what happens. But I think what's really stopping it from some kind of adoption is, and it's reasonable for it not to exist, is like a Stoneforge for equipment or for vehicles.
Mm.
There is one. I went digging. There's a pirate from Ixalan, but it costs like four and it tutors a vehicle to your hand. Not good enough.
Four scrubland. Yeah, there's not very often in Legacy where you come across four scrubland.
There's a reason for that.
But if there was ever a deck that would want four scrubland and two silent clearings, it is the six him deck.
To be honest, though, like, look, obviously dual lands are good, but like, you don't need that much white mana.
No, you're kind of just on removal and Stoneforge.
Yep. Talking about removal, March of Otherworldly Light is actually like super strong. I was playing one of these in Esper Vial when I was playing the Spellseekers for a bit, just as like a fifth swords and like prismatic ending to kind of bridge the gap. And it's one white and X, and you exile a... The text on it is specific. It's
read like it backwards.
Oh my god. This is off memory right now.
You exile an artifact, enchantment, or creature, right?
Yes, that's it. I think
you need
Planeswalkers.
Can't hit Planeswalkers.
Okay. Yeah, it's an instant, and it also has the weird March clause where like you can exile a white card to make it cost two less. So you can pitch like an extra Thalia or something to exile. I've seen this actually in a D&T like main deck that I played against online, and it was really annoying. But the points this gets over Prismatic Ending, aside from just being able to play it in like a monocolor deck, is that you can hit Urza Saga, which is a pretty big game, being able to just like Stone Rain somebody.
So it's a one mana Stone Rain before they even get mana off of it.
Yep. You just go
to like trigger in the stack and you're like, I have a response.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah. I think if like Prismatic Ending didn't exist, this would be seeing a lot more hype and excitement, because it does a deal with Planeswalkers, as Quinn pointed out, but it does deal with just about everything else. And in a pretty cost-effective way, in a way that like the cost reduction on it too is relevant occasionally.
That's what the fracture's for.
It's also great because it gets better if you play more white cards, not like Prismatic Ending, which gets better if you don't.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the other side too, in a not jokey way, is like you can kill things that, you know, cost more than five. You might pitch your whole hand to do it, but you know, you can exile, I don't know, a Kaldra Complete if you wanted. Just costs a million mana.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, right?
That's right.
That's what you got the rituals for.
Although in that scenario, you would exile the Germ, right?
It depends. Who knows what's going on?
How much does it cost to equip?
Seven.
Holy shit.
Five? Seven? Here's the question. The answer, it doesn't matter.
With the Voidwalker.
Seven.
Mm-hmm.
The Voidwalker's like, if it went to the graveyard, it would exile and you put the counter on it.
Yep.
But like, if you march something, you're not going to get a counter on it. Or if you sword something, you're not
going to get a counter. It's a replacement effect.
Yeah, okay. Damn.
Also, like, you just randomly hose people when you're playing. I mean, it's like when you play Leyline, right? Like, obviously, this doesn't come down turn zero. But like, there's a lot of decks that are just trying to play Life of the Loam for value. And like, you just play this thing and like, you're just, you know, chunking them for three with this stupid creature. And they're meanwhile, like their lands are getting exiled. They're casting spells, right? Like it hoses like Murktide and stuff, like DRC. Yeah.
And then
you're just hitting them. Shadow, right?
Yeah, yeah. Shadow.
And then you just like hitting them. It's, I don't know. I think it's pretty sweet, actually.
Like, why does, if we want to live in a world where True Name Nemesis existed, why did like True Name not have Shadow instead of like the protection way around blocking? Like, you know, Shadow is just sick.
Because it's very funny in Commander.
It is very funny in Commander.
True Name I'm not mad about. Because it's just like so funny to like sit at the table and be like, hey, McBain, check this out. I play True Name Nemesis. I named Jeff. Like, I give it haste.
You ever seen a True Name get fractured identity? That seems amazing in Commander.
Oh, by like someone else?
Yeah, like we all have one of these now, except you, and they're all protection from Quinn.
That's so rude, because you're like doing someone else a favor. But if you're the fractured identity person, you know?
Yeah. I always fit up with that clause on fractured identity too, because it's a fucking cube card, you know?
Yeah. Another card in like cube where you're like, oh, it's so powerful. And then in Commander, it's very funny. Someone's like, just like, I ramp up Bladesteel Colossus. And you're like, seemed kind of rude. What if we all had Bladesteel Colossus except for you?
That's why it's the best, is because it's like, perfect. Hey, I didn't bring this into the game. You are the one playing, you know, a card like this.
How would you feel if everyone else played this card? You're about to find out. Oh man, like what's that card? Like, is it Expropriate, that like enchantment?
Expropriate is the time vote thing, for right? Turns or time or money.
What's the other? It came out around that time too. It's like a really expensive blue enchantment. And every time your opponent plays a spell, you like play a spell on top of your library for free.
Oh yeah, that was from I was gonna say just like the last Commander set, but it was like, you know, one back. Is it like Swarm Intelligence or something?
No, I don't know. That seems like the perfect one to just be like, how about we all do this and you don't?
Man, there's some fucking cards, hey?
Spoken like a boomer.
Printed some fucking doozies, hey?
Oh, Swarm Intelligence is different and way more sick. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you can copy it just straight up.
I'm thinking of mana value.
It's like a million mana.
Seven.
And like, yeah, you just start flipping cards.
What the hell is it called?
This is the Scryfall show today.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try to move us off this. Have either of you played the Tokyo Drift deck at all?
I have not. But now that we're talking about it, I should play it before God accounts are over.
I can't imagine ever registering Stompy online.
That's the downside, is like it feels like the kind of deck to play between like meetings that I have to attend, you know, or it's like Quinn playing his Dragon combo on Arena. It's like you're not that invested in the outcome. You just like play your stuff F6 and look at what happened. What about you, McBain? Have you played this? Have you thought about playing it? I mean,
no,
Fable's sweet.
I don't know. Like when I think back to like 2012 or 2013, me looking and getting into Legacy, Dragon Stompy was definitely a deck that was on my radar. And I do like just that dump your hand, play to the board, get you dead. But I don't know. It seems pretty sweet. The Fable, like having seen Fable be played in a couple different decks now, I think it's a pretty awesome card.
Yeah, definitely.
Wonder if you could even... I haven't seen it in Painter at all. I wonder if that would be a thing.
You get an artifact. You get to loot. I mean, you don't have any use for the second half of it, right? Or the third half, but...
Yeah. You could, like...
Oh, Hasty Goblin Engineer. You could hold it up.
You could hold it up. You need, like, 4 mana. But you could hold up the flip side. Try and... mill someone out, and when they try and go to kill your painter, you just make a second painter.
Right. Kind of acts as like another welder or something.
I guess. I do like hasting a goblin engineer. That seems sick. That comes in, puts something in the bin, has haste, activate it.
Yeah, that does seem pretty awesome, actually. Just play one random fable in your deck. Why not?
Sure. I mean, it's the kind of thing, too, that is just, it's good. I mean, the creature that it makes, it's 3 mana, which I think isn't quite good enough for Legacy, but, like, with everything else, it is. The treasures are relevant. You ramp yourself. You get stuff to weld. I think you should do it, McBain.
I've already got a shitty deck made for Thursday, but I will put a fable into my cart.
I'm so sad that I'm not going to make this week or next week. I have a lot of shitty ideas and I want to play them in paper.
Man, I have like no ideas for paper. So I'm like glad it's like, I've had hockey the last couple of Thursdays and like playing online. I'm like, I guess I'll just play this deck that's good. Or sometimes this deck is bad. But like, you know, paper, I'm like, I want someone to be like, what does that do again? I'm like, I don't really have any ideas. It's so, everything's so streamlined now.
Like Duke's trying to play that bear.
What did he try to do?
Ward, vigilance, Wilson. Can't be countered.
Oh, just the 2-2?
Yeah. It's so good.
It's so obscene.
The best part is that it has more text that you just can't even use in Legacy because it's choose a background.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's not fucking on Magic Online.
Like, what else? It's a 2-2? It's got like ward 2 or something.
It's a 2-2 that can't be countered. It has, I think, just ward 1. Maybe
no,
two?
I think it's ward 2.
It has 2. Reach and trample and maybe vigilance.
It's mini questing based.
Yeah.
Is that good?
I think it's like if you want to play some kind of like stone blade game, like bear blade.
Bear blade.
It sounds like Beyblade.
Thanks for saying what everyone was thinking, Jeff. Well done. It does sound pretty gas.
Was there ever like a Sensei's Top?
We tried
a Stoneforge deck.
Probably didn't just Stoneblade play top.
Oh, it did, okay. Was it called Beyblade?
I don't think so.
Like that'd be perfect, right?
What if like there was a fairy Stoneblade deck and you called it Feyblade?
That's now we're going like, come on, that's like a step up. I guess that's more Legacy like, actually, for it to be right. Like, what? Well, actually, it's a reference that might make sense. And then there was a joke on the source, and so now it's called Feyblade.
That's like the deck used to play fairies, and they've since been cut, but it's still called Feyblade.
Yeah. It's really like 30 out of the original 60 cards, so it's basically the same.
It's distinct enough that if they both 5-0'd, Wizards would post both of them on the results.
Do it, Jeff.
Do what? What? That's gas? You're shutting us down? I feel like the energy today is like all over the place. I think we're all like tired and some of it's coming through, but it's also coming through in like just stupid shit being funnier than it should be.
I think it's been pretty funny all around. That's just me.
Okay. I'll say gas. I'll gas somebody up. I was struggling to think of something today. You know, I'm always scouring the internet and seeing who's doing what worth mentioning. And I don't want to say nobody's done anything worth mentioning. It's just that I couldn't find it. It's
turning into like the best backhanded compliment of all time. I couldn't find anything. And so
what I meant is like in particularly recent, I couldn't find anything. Once I go outside the range of like, you know, 2 days, I think, hey, I've got a good friend of mine, the top four at a side event at the face-to-face modern event that was going on. And not just any side event. It was one that qualified him for something.
Regional qualifier?
I thought...
Regional?
Yeah, regional qualifier. Because it's like in Calgary or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, I think that makes us more winners than him if he has to go to Calgary.
But Calgary's fine. I thought you were going to say, like, not just any side event, the side event that should have been a legacy side event.
Oh, true. Then he wouldn't have topped for it.
I don't know. He probably would have topped for it. Yeah, I was a little peeved at face-to-face for that. Like, they come all the way here, they host the main event, and then, like, an hour later, they're like, oh, hey, here's a side event. Or it's probably like 2 hours later, so the people who go like 0-2 can jump into it or something. But it felt like an easy gimme for the legacy. But I guess we don't have any listeners on the face-to-face admin team or something. So
we need to up our game and start bothering Elaine some more.
And Rob also needs to up his game.
That's true. He's doing his part, though. He's in that Discord asking them questions. He's like, I am a local to Toronto, so I have no stake in this, but I firmly believe Vancouver should have a legacy event.
They're going to hold it in like Calgary now or something.
I should say, before we move on as well, I don't think I said his name. Congratulations, Tristan O'Loughlin, on your top four. Very well played, playing Rhinos in Modern. I know he's been out on the weeklies at Stronghold as well, with a pretty good record, crushing everybody, cascading into green monsters.
Crushing them or crash? Is it crashing
them? Nice. Very crashing. Good.
Okay. I'll just add on the face-to-face thing. Quinn, you and I went and played some just like fun pickup commander and stuff, but it was really great to just see a whole group of people that we haven't seen in a long time. There was a lot of smiling faces underneath masks that was great to just catch up with and see what they're up to and kind of like, you know, have that slight, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, like fatherly disapproval for a bunch of people playing Modern, but like, that's fine.
It was great because like people kept telling me how like cool Modern is and like, I'm sure the gameplay might be, but I just looked at all the tables and I'm like, oh, it's all the cards I hate the most. I'm not going to buy into this. So it saved me a lot of money.
Yeah, there was definitely that money pile deck. I've said it here before, but I'll say it again. That money pile deck to me is just disgusting.
There's a lot like, of like, do you want to attack to fairy side games?
Is the money pile just like all of the pitch elementals and like multicolored planeswalkers and like Ren and Six and Teferi? I don't even know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Basically all that garbage. For me, that's gas. I'm going to shout out Testacular. So as we were kind of prepping for this podcast tonight, we kind of remembered that we had just missed the Mox event down in Portland. I quickly sent him a PM on Facebook, got back to me with a bunch of great info, hooked me into the Portland Legacy Discord. A whole bunch of people responded. We were able to get that amazing dead guy list. Awesome job. Thank you, Testacular. Thank you, Portland crew. Yes.
That's going to cost me some tickets for sure.
Or it'll make you some tickets.
Am I supposed to throw it to myself?
Process of elimination.
Sorry, I didn't know if you were waiting or you to say something.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were just going to pick it up there, but when you want to round us out, I guess.
I guess I'll do it now. I want to shout out a friend of the show, friend of ours, James Sue, who is he out of lockdown now? So this came up because I listened today to his most recent episode of Humans of Magic with Drake Thompson.
Episode 100.
Wow. So I want to say congratulations, James, on episode 100. And they talked a bit about how James was kind of back in COVID prison over in Shanghai. But I think I saw him at a coffee shop on Instagram, so it might have eased off a bit again. So also congratulations, James, on your fleeting freedom. Great episode as well, if you haven't listened to it yet. If you listen to us and you don't listen to Humans of Magic, like, I don't really know where your priorities are. But
you got to change that.
Yeah, teach their own.
And if you're James listening to this on Humans of Magic, you got to adjust your priorities, I guess. Like that's the ultimate nexus point.
Yeah.
I thought you're going to be like, and if you're James, and then trying to like pitch that like one of us come on, and I was going to like to talk about what?
Really, he should come back on here. We can hang out with him again. But
what if we were like the first 12-minute episode of Humans of Magic?
I was just going to say...
We could just have James on and get him to interview us. That'll be how we get on, quote-unquote, get on Humans of Magic. Yeah,
that's great. That's a great idea.
Put it on ourselves.
What about, like, Children of the Thresh? Like,
we just start ripping off Humans of Magic?
That can be the circumstance where we get Elliot back on. We have a Children of the Thresh.
Elliot, we've created an interview show. It's a ripoff of Humans of Magic, but it's for people that like, no one wants to hear from.
Immediately, so come on. You're the perfect first guest.
Come on and let's take a medium dive into your story.
We need our own Koopla.
We are our own Koopla.
Can we get away with doing an instrumental cover of a song? Do you think that works?
Bad for you to try.
As long as you can like beatbox it for us.
Let's cover a Koopla song. I'll just download one and run it through like a fucking shitty compressor and then we can use it.
All right. I think it's probably the end. If you made it this far, thanks for listening. We'll see you in thresholds if we feel like it, I guess, at this point. Bye.
Great. Wonderful.